Hello, everyone. Dylan and I are back with another episode of The Drop. It is currently the Tuesday night before MLP, which starts for us on Friday for the Challenger League on Thursday. And we're going to do a quick San Clemente recap. I'll talk about all things MLP real quick for y'all. Dylan, what do you have to say to all our fans?
I just have to say, what's up, everybody? And thank you guys for tuning in.
Thank you guys. Dylan and I talk sometimes and we're like, can you believe people really listen to us?
Yeah.
We're so boring, but most of our comments are pretty positive. So, and people are always coming up to us. And so here we are still doing it.
Here we are.
And I see like bits that we talk about referenced, like someone on Twitter the other day said, like, did you hear The Drop? Like, Dylan is not that professional yet. He wakes up like an hour before per this episode, this timestamp. I'm like, oh my gosh, y'all need to chill. I thought I was obsessed.
I didn't know I was going to get quoted on that.
Yeah. They were talking about your and J-Dub's loss and about how like you and J-Dub are still like kids and, you know, it's like, it's only going to get better and everything. And like, it was very positive about, you know, your potential. Like, maybe if he doesn't wake up an hour before start time. So first of all, Dylan, why don't we just go a quick San Clemente recap? I think the big things to talk about is, you know, Tyson and James got their first bronze, defeating you and Jada for the first time on the way to that bronze. And then, Matt and Riley pushing the Johns to five.
Yeah.
For the first time this year.
Yeah. I didn't watch a lot of the final, but I heard that Matt was lobbing Colin quite a bit, and that was working out well for him. But then I heard like the last the fourth and fifth games were not close, like 11-1, 11-1 or something.
0-1.
0-1. Yeah. It sounded like a couple of people told me that the Johns were a little rusty, a little loose but not playing good in the first three games, and then they kind of turned it on.
So you don't want to talk about your match?
Oh, and our match against yeah, that was a tough one. I mean, they played well. They got they had some things that were working for them, and yeah, I mean, there's a lot of teams out here that you know, if they play good and we play not our best, that we could lose to. And so it's not, we gotta show up and play our best. I think we got into a little groove there where we were pretty much making the semifinals on a consistent basis. So I think actually this loss will be good for JW and I, because now, like, Hopefully we turn around and take it more seriously, especially in the early rounds where we've dropped a few games, like in the first round, second round, need to clean that up for sure. So hopefully this kind of gives us a sense of urgency, I guess you could say, so that we're...
Makes you hungrier. It's like, how many times can you play with fire and still not get burned? I feel like you can only do it so many times. It's like Anna Lee went undefeated. She's got four triple crowns in a row. That's like, she's on a huge winning streak. But I felt like this event, she played with fire, like more than in the last couple, right? Like, I mean,
yeah,
she dropped a game in all events. And it's crazy that that's something worth noting, but it is. It's like she dropped two games in women's doubles and got really pushed by Leia and Tyra. You know, kudos, and that was a really fun match to watch. That was an absurdly fun match to watch. You know, Leia versus Catherine is always must see. Always must see. And then it was cool to see Tyra like kind of ball out. I think she got a little tight, but then also in mixed, you know, went to three with the, and like last week too, like last week as well, I felt like she got pushed a little more. So it's like, how many times can you play with fire and not get burned? I feel like it's like the Johns sometimes come out a little slow. They lost to Ben and Phil. That probably just motivated them, kind of like you guys and you and J-Dub. So I feel like Matt and Riley have played with fire too. It's like all these teams that are super dominant, it's like eventually just a matter of odds.
I think I tuned into the women's doubles final like in the third game, and it was 9-9
Yeah,
one
Etta
for
and
Etta
Irina
and Irina, and I'm
really
like, wow.
had. Yeah, I was surprised at how close that was. I wanted Lucy and Callie to win the semi because I expected they would be able to push Annalie and Catherine harder, and just because there's a lot of history between that team against Anna Lee. And I actually thought it was funny. Like, obviously, I think Callie and Lucy are great players. Like, I played them a bunch in the latter half of last year, but I really felt like I kind of figured them out. And in the Masters, Annalie and I's first tournament together, we were going to play Callie and Lucy in the final. And it was kind of interesting and funny to me. It was like the waters had less of a read on how to play that team than me, I felt, or they almost like respected them. Not that I didn't, but like it was just very interesting, right? Because they went back and forth with that team a lot last year. And it's like Lee had someone like watching film on them before the match and was like giving me all this like in-depth advice. And I was just like, yo, I'm just gonna like dink to Cali. Like that's kind of what I'm thinking. Like whereas the waters are like need to speed up here, speed up here, speed up here. I'm like, I'm gonna just dink, I think, and just kind of wait. That's more so my thinking here. So I kind of wanted that matchup because Annalie has only played them once this year, and I was kind of curious as to how it would go with Catherine. I was just curious, but obviously Etta and Irina really played very well. Lots of lobbing. Etta had Dan Gingrich on the sideline, the mental guru, so I'm sure he was definitely an asset to them. I feel like he's a great coach for Etta and Elise both. I feel like they've improved a lot with his
His
help,
wisdom, yeah.
his wisdom, I read most of his posts. I do not read all of them, but I do read most of them, I will say.
And what do you think?
I think the guy is
You
a
know the
complete
stuff.
stud. I think the guy is a complete stud. He's all about the process. He's all about getting one day better. If you wouldn't have done this podcast with me, Dan Gingrich was my next choice.
Yeah.
100%. He might have been my first choice. He might have actually said no, and so I ended up with you.
I wouldn't
A
doubt
lot of people might have said no, and I ended up with you.
Yeah, when I got the call on my phone, I was surprised myself.
He actually wasn't surprised. I had first like posed the idea of doing a podcast with Dylan like months ago, and he was like, "No way." And I was like, "If I asked your mom to get you to do this with me, you would be doing it." And he
And
was
that's what happened.
like, "No, it's not what happened. I never reached out to Cindy, but I would have if I'd gotten desperate enough." Anything else worth talking about in San Clemente? I think Leia's playing really well right now, but I think it's funny. There's like, oh my God. I wish, okay, probably a lot of people who listen to our podcast are on pickleball Twitter, but Dylan, I know that you're not. But Leia's like, unhinged is not the right word, but she interacts with anyone and everyone on Twitter. And
Like this,
it's
just commenting
hilarious.
on our phone.
Yeah, or like anyone will tweet something. So there's this guy, Josh, I think his last name is Corin. He tweets something like, "I'm loving Leia and Tyra, like all in for that team 2024. Hashtag Leia Kane." All right. And then someone responds something. And then Josh is like, "I've never seen hand speed like Tyra's. The only names that come to mind are like Georgia and someone else." And Leia goes, "Have you seen my hand speed?"
Oh.
And this guy, at this point, is just, I think it's kind of funny. And then Josh says, like, "You were striking the ball so clean with the Perseus this weekend. Like, it looked great." And Leia goes, "Not just the Perseus. Don't disrespect my hand speed." And I was just like, oh my God. Like, don't disrespect my hand speed. I should have retweeted it. It was so funny. And then someone else was tweeting about, and then Leia tweeted about hand speed, her own independent tweet about how like there's no stats on hand speed. You can't, when people claim they have the fastest hands, like, it's all unfounded, right? Like it's kind of silly. And like that's definitely true. It's like who really knows who has the fastest hands? We're all kind of going off the eye test right now. And then real clear stats, replies. Like, we actually have this data from MLP Daytona, right? And then, you know, it's like, cool, let's see. And they release it today. Did you see who number one is?
No.
Catherine?
Oh, no.
Number one was Catherine. Number two was Annalie. And number three was Jesse. And so it doesn't really pass the eye test. But, and then Leia's like, this seems wrong. It just couldn't have been a better and like a funnier sequence of events. It just couldn't have been better. It was just so funny. And it's like, you know, now it's like questioning the methodology. And like, honestly, like, I feel like they've got to separate gender and mixed when they do that. And it's a smaller, like, they tallied a ton of matches, but I would say you need to look at more than just one MLP event. But
how did they measure it? More like the numbers.
Oh, it was a combination of a lot of things. Like, it was like five factors. I couldn't say off the top of my head, but it's a cool analysis. I'd be interested if they released the whole list, largely just because I'm curious where I fall on that list.
Top 10. One would wonder.
One would wonder, not even hope. Oh my God! I think they're gonna release the men tomorrow. I think Ben is going to be number one. The guy only lost one match at MLP to you. And so obviously if you win more matches, you're going to have higher stats. And I would think that I don't know what J-Dub's overall record was, but Riley went undefeated as well. So I would think he'll be high, but I think one would wonder if you make the top 10 as well. I mean, if they include mixed, you probably don't. Cause I think your mixed record was pretty poor.
It was all right.
What was it?
I don't know. I feel like we won like 50-50. I think it was slightly better in 50%.
I know you were 1-5 in mixed in pool play, because I think someone told me that.
Our team?
It's a team, yeah.
Okay. Because I think Maggie and I were like right at 50% or maybe a game above 50%.
Something to be proud of.
Yeah.
My mixed record at MLP is 50%, so we'll see. I don't know who's better between me and you, but neither is particularly great.
But high expectations for you and mixed this next MLP.
Oh, I just played some games with Rafa tonight. Yeah.
Were you
crushing? We were 0%. We lost. We played Tyra and James and just 0-3. Like, it was tough.
It's also Rec Rafa, so you have to take that.
Oh my God. Honestly, I was kind of frustrated. Like, I was, I'm not going to lie. I wasn't playing my best. This was my first time playing in a couple of days. I was like driving for 7 hours today. So going to preface that with, I wasn't playing my best, but it's like James is flicking a ball from so low. It has to go middle or cross court, right? And it's a clean winner slow. And Rafa's like sitting backhand. I'm like, my guy. There's no way it was going there.
I mean, he's always sitting back in.
I know. And then he's just driving it at James. And it's like, I mean, I wasn't playing well either. It was just like, you know, we were close. I think we got to the freeze in every game, but we never quite converted one. But, you know, he's like leaving overheads for me. And he's like, I'm there on Friday. When I got it, I got it. Don't you worry. And I'm like, I'm not worried, Rafa. I'm not worried. Oh, and there was one ball that he didn't take. I expected him to take it. And then he goes, can I take that one? Like, asked me permission. I was like, Rafa, yes. Yes, you can take that one. It was just a funny experience. But, you know, at MLP, come Friday, me and Raf. That's a 21. That's probably a 21-12
victory. I want to watch you guys play.
That's probably a 21-12 victory for me and the dog. Is there anything else to talk about for San Clemente? I wanted to ask you where you would rank my hand speed, but you clearly wouldn't put me in the top 10. So I think I'm gonna.
I mean, I'd say that you're arguably number 10.
Arguably. Who's number 9? Like, who am I on the bubble with, you know?
I don't know. I'd have to write some names down, but, like, maybe Megan Design.
Oh, really? I would put Megan Nizon firmly in the top 10.
Okay. Well, maybe
Personally.
someone else then. Oh no, I'd have to
Yeah.
see a list of names.
Yeah,
But
you have to.
I feel like you'd be right around that number 10 spot.
Thank you, Dylan. I would put you right around there as well.
One
Unless
other.
someone's attacking your high backhand, then we'd have to go a little lower.
A little lower than top 10. Nah. I think the other thing to note, or that was new for me anyway, starting with the San Clemente tournament, was your signature paddle.
Oh my God, how can I not talk about that? Thanks for the plug, Dylan.
No problem.
I appreciate it.
I don't even know which model it is. Is it the Scorpius?
Yeah, I'm a Scorpius
Okay.
girly. Yes. And oh my God, I have to talk about my tournament. I got fourth place in singles. I made the semifinals. Better than you. But yeah, then I withdrew from the bronze match. I absolutely, Catherine. Absolutely, wiped the floor with me in the semis, 0-3. I got down like 4-0. Timeout, texted my dad. I think this is gonna be quick.
Yeah, she did text me
James.
that.
Oh my gosh. I texted Chris Bright that. I think this is gonna be quick. And it was quick, 0-3. But I was really happy to get there, but I didn't want to play Judit. I was like, my knees are hurting. I'm done. I had that the really funny foot fault called against me in my first match. That was something else, but it was so sweet how like apologetic Dante and the other rest were. I know it was an honest mistake. So James and I got bronze and mixed. I thought Leah played really well. Me and Megan Fudge didn't do that stellar on the whole. We lost to Andrea and Jesse. I was really disappointed in myself. I felt like I overplayed a little bit and I lost the match on like a missed kind of overhead, which is disappointing. You should never lose a match like that. Then we lost to Jill and Sarah. I gotta talk about Jill Braverman. I gotta talk about Jill Braverman. Jill Braverman and Sarah Ansbury are hands down the funniest team in pro pickleball. Like, I honestly played great. I played pretty well again. I felt like my defense was so good at the line. I could have been better, but it couldn't have been any funnier. It's like Sarah has a high ball and Jill is like, finish, 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 like three times while Sarah's like getting ready to hit an overhead or just like all the constant chatter. I was in a good mood, so I didn't find it annoying. Next match, after Jill and Sarah beat us, they're playing Leia and Tyra. And I was watching James's bronze match, but midway through, I was like, I gotta go watch that. I heard some screaming. And I think Leia and Jill, they exchanged some very loud pleasantries after the match with elevated voices. And there were some insults, and it was something else. But Jill really impressed me. Sarah really impressed me. I thought Jill is a lot. She impressed me a lot in Atlanta as well. I played her in mixed there. I think Jill's a premier pick.
Think
I do.
so. I think so too.
But I'll be curious because she plays her best when she's moving a lot, taking a ton of court. I think she uses her height really, really well. But she's there. But it'll be interesting who does it. But I think someone's got to take her. It'd be a mistake not to. Good singles as well, even though she's not playing. So I got to shout out Jilly B, and I thought Sarah played great too. And they are just so funny. They are so funny. It was amazing. Yeah, and I know you want that pickup in Premier. You've mentioned that before. So I think Jilly B is in.
She's got good energy. I feel like she'd be a good teammate.
I think so too. If you can keep her on her feet, you know.
The crazier the point, the more momentum there is to
It's
gain.
like Rafa. It's the same thing. It's like the crazier it gets, the better. There are a few people who are like that. I feel like Jessie Irvin is one of those. It's like the longer the point goes, like the more likely she is to like pull the trigger or like. And I think when she does, she's actually very good. Like in mixed, especially, it's like you know, the longer it goes, the more likely she is to do something. Yeah. All right. Anything else to talk about regarding San Clemente, Dylan? Did anyone impress you? Shout out Tyson, another golden single. Shout out Colin Schick, Connor Garnett, all played great. James is currently whispering to me, Jimmy on the right. So we have to shout out right side James.
I think James is making the transition to being a right side player.
Oh, he's making a transition. Transitioning. Right. Oh man. Okay. All right. Okay. All right, Dylan. Anything else to say about him or about San Clemente before we go into MLP?
Nope. Let's do it.
All right. Let's do it. We shouted you out. James is getting too comfortable when I record these podcasts. And when he records his, I'm usually pretty quiet, but not always. Okay. So Dylan, let's talk about your group. You play the fives in your first match, right?
Yes.
Easy dub. Good little who's gonna play James in mixed? Which matchup do you guys like there? You were
Fetty. We haven't talked about it. We haven't talked about it yet. And even if we had, I'm not sure it's in my best interest to give that away in this environment.
I mean, there are no paddle challenges at this MLP, so.
I heard that, yeah, they said that they're not testing for grit.
Yeah, they're not testing for grit, which is interesting, honestly. I mean, they're testing for deflection. Grit is easier to test for.
Yeah. So you can just bring out the grittiest paddle you have and you're good to go.
I guess you can, like, I mean, yeah. It's a bit strange that, because it's like Carl was just here with the grit tester, like, you know,
yeah,
last week. So we can just keep that on you. I don't know why they're not testing for grit, but yeah. So there's no paddle challenges. So essentially, how it's going to work is all paddles are challenged before, or tested before every match, and you cannot challenge after the fact. There's no default. Paddles will just be marked and disqualified. So your group is the fives, the shock, and who is the last group? Oh, the ATX pickleballers. Okay, so who are your picks to advance?
I'm gonna say BOQK, obviously.
Right, you have to say that.
And probably the fives.
Yeah, you have to. I think you've got to expect that, but both of those teams are very in it to win it. And surprisingly, the ATX Pickleballers are the only team that's gone undefeated in Dreambreakers. And the Kawamotos have the best point differentials in singles out of, like, all women.
Really?
The Kawamotos are literally cleaning up. I think Jade beat Catherine, like, 6-2. I think Jackie beat Irina 7-1. It's like, no one has seen it. I lost to Jade at the U.S. Open in 2021. It's just like, they're just these little munchkins that run everything down and they choke up on their paddles and they can just hit angles like it's unbelievable.
How many Dreambreakers have they played?
Maybe three.
And they've won all of them.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, I mean, they won 21-7 over the Night Owls in Mesa. And then they beat the Mad Drops, which with Hunter Johnson. Not that Thomas Wilson is a slouch in singles, but you would think a team with Julian Arnold, Hunter Johnson, Catherine, and Irina would literally dust J-Dub, Gabe, and the Kawamotos. Yeah. But it was like 21-15. It wasn't even that close. The ATX. And then they also beat, I think they beat the Smash as well. Yeah, because Jade went like 4-4 or 5-3 against Colin. Insane. Right after Colin had kind of made Hunter look silly. So just and Gabe cleaned up against Jesse, like did his job, like went 11-1. But just overall so funny. So don't go 2-2 with ATX. Yeah,
that would not be ideal given their record.
No. It's always a crapshoot, but that's not what you want. I think the Shock are always gonna be in it as well. I think your group is pretty even. My group has obviously the Hustlers, the Hard Eights. All the groups in our teams like had major changes though. So the Hard Eights have subbed out. They now have Lauren Stratman instead of Mary Bracha. We have the Florida Smash, which now has Kyle, Yates, and Vivian David. And we have the Milwaukee Mashers, which now have Matt Wright instead of DJ. So I think my pool is the toughest. I think anyone could advance, honestly.
Yeah, it's a tough pool.
It is.
The Mashers have Matt and Lucy now.
Yeah.
Matt, Lucy, Andre, and Callie. It's a tough team.
It's a team that you would think is not too strong in singles. You would expect, right?
Yeah.
But it's a team in every double spot. It is really, really tough.
Yeah. Who's the second girl on Florida Smashes?
They have Georgia and Vivian.
That's right. Yeah.
And Georgia and Travis have been playing really well. Vivian and Kyle, they almost beat Tyson and I. Probably should have started kind of. We kind of had a 3-0 letdown. Honestly, we were up 3-0 when we played them, but we managed to kind of pull it back. But Kyle is tricky because nobody has seen him, really. No one has really played him. Not even APP players. The guy hasn't. He played men's doubles in San Clemente with Travis, but he hasn't even really played an APP in forever. So no one has seen Kyle in a while. And at least in Daytona, he was pulling everything. He was attacking everything, and it was really strange. But that's a team that I feel like should be.
Who are your
I mean, Kyle and Vivian. Sorry, say again?
Who are your picks to make it out of your pool?
I think I would pick us and the Hard Eights.
Okay.
That's tough though. Not the Mashers. I would think that it's pretty even all the way around. I would put the Smash as less likely than the other three teams.
Though. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's what I would say. But I think any team could advance. My team has the Dream Breaker edge.
I think the Hustlers will probably make it out.
You just never freaking know, though. It's if one person plays badly, it's if this is the event where AJ plays mixed doubles at the level he's capable of, it's makes everything way tougher.
But you guys have Rafa Hewitt, so.
You always love to say that.
Guaranteed to make it to the playoffs at least.
What's a bigger cheat code, Rafa Hewitt or Irina?
I mean, I guess you have to say Irina, given her record at MLP, but Rafa's the biggest cheat code on the guy side.
Yeah. I have to say this. James was when he realized I had never said this on the pod, he was like, come on, you've got to say it. So in MLP Mesa, the first event, right? We're warming up before the final. The Hustlers versus the Mad Drops. The Mad Drops have Irina. And we're just about to warm up, and Rafa just comes up to me. Tyson's not out the court yet. Me and Lacey are there. He comes up to me. He's like, hey, you know my record in MLP finals is better than Irina's, right? Because they were on the same team last year, BLQK. And me and Lacey just kind of look at each other. I'm thinking, he's looking at me like, huh? Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I go, Rafa, 3 out of 4 is better than 2 out of 3. Because Irina also played and won the finals her first year on Ben's team. And he just looks at me for a second. He's computing, and me and Lacey are laughing. And he just goes, you right. You right. When you're right, you're right. And it was just such a funny interaction. And he was like, but it's going to be better after today. We're like, oh yeah. And then it wasn't right because we lost, but it was just so funny. I mean, it's honestly insane that up until, I don't know if I sent you this or showed you, but I saw something on Twitter and it was Kevin Love has made the NBA finals every time he's played MLP or every time he's been in the playoffs. And I sent that to Irina. I was like, this is you. And she was like, only semis last time. And I was like, well, you had a sub, doesn't even count. So Irina is the Kevin Love of pickleball.
Yeah.
If she, you don't have to make the playoffs though. You just have to She just has to get drafted, and she's going to get drafted. So she should go first overall with her track record. So that's my pool. And then the third pool is the LA Mad Drops, Seattle Pioneers, Team Clean with DJ Young now. And what's the last team? Pioneer. The Night Owls. The Night Owls, who have gotten chronically unlucky. And I feel bad for that organization because I think Kalen Kirk cares. Like, there couldn't be many GMs that are more invested than her. But her team has just gotten really unlucky.
Yeah. Our teams, both of our teams are in a position where we need to outperform the Mad Drops since yes. they're currently in second place.
Yeah, we need to outperform them. And it's like tough, you know, they're both the favorites, both the Mad Drops and Seattle, to advance out of group play. You don't really honestly see a situation in which Seattle doesn't, you know, maybe they take one loss, but you just think they're gonna, I mean, Ed and Megan are playing so well, like they're both playing like first round females, I think.
Yeah.
And then first round, early second, like way above their draft positions. And obviously Ben and like Tyler is your second male is like you're the worst player on your team. Like, come on, that's absurd. So obviously that team has been, but they have drafted and everyone is playing unbelievably. So you don't really see them not advancing, even if they take a loss to the Mad Drops or something. I hope the Night Owls upset the Mad Drops, or any loss that Seattle or LA takes is good for our teams. I think my team is in third place to advance, and then I think it's the Fives and then you.
I think so.
So your guys in the Fives, that's like a marquee first round match.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. Even if you both advance, because every win gets you an additional point.
Oh, does it? You get a point for a win. Okay.
Yeah, it matters. Like, if you won the event, you get so many points, then you also get points for like your record.
Okay.
So everything matters. Yeah.
Nice.
Is my understanding, at least. So every match matters. Like going 3-0 in pool play and then losing in the final is worth more than going 2-1 and then losing in the final for advancement. If it gets that close.
Nice.
I don't know. I haven't looked too deeply into everything that has to happen. I think that's just I heard some people talking about it today. They were like, all these crazy scenarios. I'm like, that's just too much to think about. Just want to go. And if I feel like if we make the final, we're in a really good spot.
Yeah.
I think for each of our teams, like making the final is like kind of, if you make the final, then you at least outperformed one of them, that you should be in a decent spot. I don't know. Thinking about it beyond that is like too much.
I don't know. I'm just going to go dink the ball to Callie.
That used to work. Now, like, you can't do that anymore. She doesn't miss backhand dinks anymore. Now she puts two hands on it half the time and, like, hits the slice speed up that often works. Maybe I need to add that to my game, the two-handed slice backhand speed up.
Callie has that?
Yeah. I guess you would never see it, right? Because you've played mixed with her. You know, when you play against her, she's on the right. But, yeah, she hits a two-handed speed up now, and it's been really huge for her game, and she's gotten way more solid with her backhand dink, so can't do it anymore. Kudos. But I have a one-hand flick now, so I'm adding things too. Shout out NML for noticing.
NML noticed that
they literally tweeted it. In Texas, I was doing it a lot, and they said, look at Anna Bright using that one-hand flick. And I was like, dang, people are on it.
I think I need to come out and observe this one-handed flick in a tournament setting before you can go around saying that you have a one-handed flick now.
It was in a real match on Grandstand. I have screen recorded every successful one-handed flick. I will text you videos. All right.
Okay.
I hit one that was so filthy against Andrea and Jesse. It was my only one of the match. It was a clean winner through the middle. It was really nice. Right now, I actually think my success rate is 100% just because no one has seen it before. I think my success rate is 100%.
That's like a secret weapon that you could have in women's doubles, because everyone always backs off the line. No one's reaching in to
the ball right here. everyone is like starting to do it now. Like, I don't know if Elise Jones is doing it in real matches, but we played some practice games against, me and Megan played a few points against Georgia and Elise did it like 3 times in like 10 points. It's like everybody's working on it. So I think it's, the game is evolving. I think eventually like a lot of women are going to have it too, but man, it's just unbelievable how well Leia does it. It's really unbelievable. Like, she hits it so hard. Random side note, but I think it'll be a long time before anyone's as good at it as Leia.
Do you think the women's game will eventually evolve to a point where all of the women have developed like a one-handed counter punch with their backhand?
Or how, I think maybe eventually most people will be able to hit one decently well enough to stay in a hands exchange and then slide to a backhand. I don't think it'll ever be like required that all women, like, to be good, you're going to have to be able to literally do hands like Georgia or Lacey, yeah, or like, you know what I mean? Like Callie can hit one and slide, or like Lucy will do like two, but then she's sliding to her backhand. Whereas Georgia will like stay head on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I feel like that's a pretty big advantage to have.
I think it is, if you can hit the ball hard enough. Like, I honestly don't think I'm capable of being able to hit the ball like hard enough, like staying head on and not sliding to a two-hander. Like, even if I trained, I just don't think I have it.
Yeah.
But I think I can, I there's so many things that are on like my list of things I eventually want to learn how to do. I want to get to where I can hit one good enough and then slide to a backhand. That's pretty much all maybe one day I'll want to be able to actually do it, but I don't really think it's going to happen for me. It's just weak.
What's at the top of your list of things to learn?
Still working on the one-handed flick. I want to get better at lobbing, scorpion. Scorpion is like, I want to get good at that. I want to tweak with different grips when you commit to the scorpion, because like Colin completely switches to Riley Newman's grip and goes complete pancake. And I think that anything that Ben and Colin do, there's a good reason for it. So I want to mess around with that. The one-handed counter for like one shot.
Yeah.
I think my drops are very good, but it's like, why are Ben's so good? It's like, how does he just like never miss? Or how is the quality always so good? So kind of try to get better at that. I think mine are very good. I don't think there's like much more room to improve, but as is for most pros. But it's like, why are his just a level above? It's probably just reps and like being disciplined about it. So maybe kind of figuring that out. Work on my drives, backhand ATPs, but that's like lower. Like, backhand, what about you? ATPs.
Well, personally, I just crossed overhead off the list.
Your overhead has gotten a lot better.
It could still use a lot of work though, for sure. I was joking when I said that, but I think
I was being serious. I shouldn't have been so nice.
Probably bigger serve, and probably, I think it'd be nice to have like a two-handed dink to use sometimes, or even speed up.
When you do the dink, I think it works really well. At least in mixed, maybe not as well in men's, but in mixed, like, it's like if you put two hands on the paddle, I'm like so paranoid about a speed up, and then like the dude has to shift middle, and I feel like you hit it really well. But in men's, yeah, it's a whole different dynamic. I just gave away everything I'm working on air. Doesn't really matter though. Everyone sees everything. It's like fine. But yeah, I would say those are my. Oh, there's other stuff too, now that I think about it. Crashing, I'm not very good at that. But yeah, let's talk about Challenger a little bit. Are there any players that you are interested in watching, Dylan? Or maybe not, you won't personally go watch them, but like you're curious about their performance.
I don't know. I haven't thought about it. I feel like once the Bay Area Breakers got Vivian on their team, it just like I kind of lost interest at that point because, like, the team that had already been winning all these events got by far the best pickup available, which is clear now. At the time, it probably wasn't clear, but now it's like, how's this team going to lose?
See, I love Vivian, like, but I am not altogether certain, right? They have two very left side dominant females. I mean, Vivian and Bobby Oshiro went 1-2 this weekend. And they lost. I was very curious in their match against Callie and Lucy, and they lost like 6-5. I was hoping for a closer match just because Bobby Shiro has beaten that team this year and I think played them close as well with a different partner. So I didn't really get to watch, but I was kind of like, darn, you know? And Vivian is going to have to presumably play the right this weekend. So she's going to see a lot of balls, and she definitely got the highest upside out of anyone picked for sure. Right, she's in that. Everyone is curious to see how she plays, but I don't think it's like a lock that Bay Area is going to win again. It's like they're, you know, she doesn't have a lot of, she has like very few reps and mixed on the right. So I'm very curious in her. I totally cut you off though. Are there any other names?
Trying to think of who was picked up. Who are some of the
Rihanna people? Valdez is one that I would say I am interested in watching, seeing how she plays. She got picked up by the Bus. She'll be playing with Megan Fudge. I don't know. I feel like it's going to be so competitive with who goes in and out of Premier. Like, just off the top of my head, the women I'm kind of interested in, you've got, like, obviously Tyra Black. I think she's a shoe-in at this point. Then you've got, like, Vivian and maybe Rihanna. I think Bobby Oshier just got fifth place with Deckel. It's a big time fifth place. It's Deckel's best result in mixed this year, other than fourth with Megan Fudge, actually. But they beat a ton of good teams. They beat Federico in the main draw with Etta Wright, he's been kind of on a tear in mixed lately in the main draw. So I think Bobby is definitely is like right in there. Susanna, Jill. It's kind of like, shoot, really tough. I feel like female depth is not at all an issue through 24 players.
Like, yeah,
it's totally a non-issue. Not like, you know. So I've seen some people saying that like women should go first because women are more like there aren't as many of them. And I don't think that's the case at all anymore through 24. Men, who do I want to watch? I think Pablo's good. He did run into James and I, so he did not get past the round of 32. This weekend, James did hit poor Shelby Bates a good number of times, and she was very much rattled.
Really?
Yeah. Once he got her like in the face, like it was stupid. It shouldn't have happened, but it was like he birded me, and it was a horrible bird. He was hitting the ball from like way below the net. He just hit it up. Right, because it was going so far out. But anytime anyone birds, like, people kind of freak out a little bit, and like it like grazed her cheek, and it was to win game one, and I was just like, no paddle talk after that one. Obviously Pablito is one to watch. There are a lot of dudes to watch, but I'm not as in tune with the challenger level men. But Dylan, I have a question. So there's a very real opportune chance that you go first round. Do you feel prepared to help like draft the rest of your team? Cause that's one of my motivations for following Challenger and like watching everyone pretty closely and like kind of still watching men's doubles.
At the moment, like if we had the draft right now, I'd be unprepared. But before the draft happens, I'll probably try to come up with like a plan or like a list of players like, of who I'd want on the team.
Yeah. Okay, I have another question. Would you draft me or Catherine second overall, female? Annalise won, so shoe in. Or maybe there's someone else, but just would you draft Catherine ahead of me? Let's just say that. Honestly.
Let me ask you a question and then see if this answers the question you asked me.
Okay.
Did you see the stats from last MLP? Hand speed.
No, that does it. You're right. That does it. That's true. I didn't even crack the top three. I'm not even there. She's number one overall. Take her number one overall. What am I saying? That's your one, two, and three right there. Oh my gosh. What am I saying? All right. So I guess that's your answer, huh?
That's my answer.
Would you take Catherine above Anna Lee?
No.
But the stats. The stats.
The stats are just part of it.
Do you take Jesse number three overall for women?
No, I would not take Jesse number three.
Oh, so the stats are just part of it there. Would you take me number three or beyond, you know? Or am I like right around 10?
I don't know. Again, I'd have to see a list of like all the female players, but I'd say that you would have a chance of going in the first round.
wait, in the first round or like in the top 12 women?
Top six women, like a first round pick. Like if
I have a chance.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dylan. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
But you know, getting drafted later is better usually because it means better players are going to be on your team.
I know. So that's why you're in a good spot. honestly, before I thought that I should get drafted above Catherine, but after getting spanked in singles this year, like who do you think is a better, all right, who do you think is a better mixed player, me or Catherine? Be honest.
I think this is at least the second podcast episode where you're asking me to pick between you and Catherine.
No. The last time was after we were done recording. So that didn't go on air.
Okay.
I asked Dylan to rank like who he would want to play mixed. Honestly, everyone, I know if y'all are still listening at this point, you enjoy listening to mine and Dylan's conversations, but mine and Dylan's conversations before we hit record are so much funnier and better even. So this one has actually been pretty good because I didn't plan anything, but Dylan grossly underranked me. I know that I'm his first choice after Anna Lee. But
she thinks.
I know. I know.
She wishes.
I know, Dylan. I know. but I'm going to be honest. I did think I was better than Catherine in mixed, but after me and James lost to her and Tyson, I realized I have not beaten her once in mixed doubles all year.
How many times have you played her? Like twice?
At least three in PPAs and twice at MLP.
Okay.
Then I was like, maybe I'm not. Maybe I just have to swallow that pill. So
it seems like it's a tough one for you to swallow because, you know, you've asked me several times now.
I have, and you won't give me a straight answer.
No, I've pretty much given you a straight answer. You just don't accept my answer.
Who do you think gets picked higher, me or you? This is also something we've talked about before. I think it's really close. I think it's really close between me and you.
I think it's close. But probably me.
Why?
I just think, I don't know, I've heard some people talking and they're thinking that more guys are going to be drafted.
But they're just talking about alpha males.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Of course. Now I've heard some people say that they think like at least seven guys are going to go first round. Like they're thinking
kind of
seven or eight guys and four or five girls.
I think it'll be like 7-5 split, men, women. It could be 8-4. It could be 6-6. But I feel like it won't be 7-5 for the women this time, for sure.
Was that what it was this past draft? 7 women, 5 guys?
Yeah. All right, Dylan, anything else?
I think that's good.
All right. Thank you for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And with my parting thought, please draft Catherine above me. I want to go later. All right. Bye, Dylan. Right. Oh, everyone, my and Dylan's teams are scrimmaging tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Drop in the comments whose team you think won. And if you think that I beat Dylan in mixed.
No way.
The answer will be yes.
No way. The people know. The people know.
Whatever. All right. Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening.
See ya.